On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Jake Bunce, formerly of the Philadelphia Phillies and now currently with Rock Strength. Jake, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Chris, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. You're doing a great job with the podcast, and keep it up, man. It's some good stuff. Well, basically, right now, I own my own gym called Rock Strength in Rochester, New York, upstate New York. It's ROC Strength. Beforehand, I worked in professional baseball 3 years. I graduated from SUNY Brockport up in upstate New York, exercise science, kinesiology, major, bio minor, played 4 years of baseball. Afterwards, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So during a summer baseball league, I had a strength coach, Jay Shiner. He was formerly the big league strength coach with the Baltimore Orioles, and he also spent 12 years as a minor league coordinator with the Orioles, and we hit it off. You know, just tell me about baseball life, tell me about working with the guys, what he did, and then, you know, obviously our connection while he trained me. So I asked him if I could do an internship with them, and I learned so much. I learned how to communicate, you know, in the weight room, have presence. All little things that you would never expect that you wouldn't learn from college. From there, I worked all over the place. I was a high school strength coach. I worked in the private setting. I worked in corporate wellness with Verizon Wireless as a health and wellness coordinator. You know, all in, you know, just the goal of getting into baseball. And lucky enough, I got a seasonal position with the Cincinnati Reds. In Billings, Montana, in the Pioneer League. And I'll tell you what, that league is fantastic. You know, especially first year being in, the travel in the Montanas, you know, Utah, Idaho, it was something that a kid from upstate New York would never see. And it was honestly a great experience. From there, got a full-time job with the Philadelphia Phillies, working in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, in the New York Penn League. After that, you know, my final season, I was with the Lakewood Blue Claws in the South Atlantic League. And I'll tell you what, the Phillies organization, fantastic organization. There's nothing bad I can say about them. And then from there, I opened up Rock Strength.
All the guys I know with the Phillies are super cool guys, super good dudes. So 100% on board with you, and that's one of the beautiful things of baseball, man. It's like you see so much that you would never think you'd see. I mean, I'm from New York area as well, and you go out and you travel all over, and you're like, man, this is cool. This is awesome. Like, definitely something you don't expect in your life, and it's kind of like one of the underappreciated parts of baseball is all the things you get to see in a short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Phillies do a great job of, you know, just the fact of, like, the communication within the staff, and not only within the strength and conditioning staff, the sports medicine staff with athletic trainers, and even with the coaches, the coordinators. I mean, I have nothing but good things. All good people there, and I love every one of them.
Yeah, like I said, the guys I know there are great, so I know firsthand that that's 100% accurate. But so we've done this before, and the audio is not great. And so I really appreciate you coming on. I'm trying to do in season two here of the podcast some Where Are They Nows, guys that have been in baseball, have moved on and are doing other things. And that's why I wanted to have you on, is you own your own gym. And that's kind of like a, I don't know about other strength coaches, but at least for me, like, someday I would love to own my own gym. And so I'm excited to hear from you about your gym in Rochester, kind of how you came up with the idea of doing it, who you're training there, and then we'll kind of go from there on philosophy and whatnot that you have at the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. After my first year in baseball with the Reds, I came home and like every other strength coach were like, you either, you know, you go play, you go to the winter ball, you go, you know, the Florida Instructional League, maybe you stay in the spring training facility and help with like winter strength programs and whatnot. And I was looking for something to do at home. And I had a buddy of mine who just opened up a baseball facility, said, hey, man, I have, you know, summer baseball teams. You know, he has a summer baseball organization. Would you like to train him in the winter? I said, absolutely, for sure. So I go there and I actually help him set up his gym in the facility, and which ended up turning to be my gym. And so I helped him, and we had 10 teams that I was working with three times a week for 4 months, the whole time I was home. And I was slam packed with work. And then I'm there every night. People are wanting to come in and work extra with me. And, you know, other people are wanting to train extra. And so I was talking to him and I said, hey, man, let's start the business and you run it when I'm gone. And I'll be here and I'll guide you through it. And, you know, we started the process like that. And it just happened to be like that. So, and that winter I took on two employees, and during the summer while I was gone, the first year with the Phillies, you know, they kept doing it, kept working with guys. And the following year, it grew even more. I had to expand to the other side. You know, now I'm in a bigger part of the indoor facility. And, you know, and then this year it's, you know, again, there's changes every year. And it kind of grew from itself. Our biggest, we work with 90% baseball players, you know, then we have football athletes. It's all young athletes, you know, the youngest being 10 years old to the oldest really being a young professional baseball player or college athlete. So probably like 25, 26. You know, it's for us, our focus is basically on teaching them how to, you know, move and be in the weight room. Our philosophy is number one, train safe, never do harm. That's all our rules. We never want to, you know, put an athlete in harm's way of, you know, maybe in potential hurting themselves in the future or doing damage. So that's number one. And at my gym, I'm not afraid to turn people away who don't have proper work ethic that, you know, we try to instill at Rock Strength. We try to work hard. There's no sitting down. We try to get after it, you know, 24/7. So, you know, the work ethic, the attitude, you know, the positive energy, there's no negative. Oh, I can't do this. There's none of that. You know, we don't take that. And then the biggest thing for us is moving well. There's a lot of, you know, these kids sit at desks all day, you know, at school in bad positions, you know, tight hip flexors, rounded shoulders, you know, forward head posture, you know, we really stick with the basics. It's, you know, we don't do anything, you know, fancy. It's literally all about moving well. I read a book a long time ago, John Wooden's book. Yeah, obviously Coach John Wooden is, you know, one of the best coaches of all time. And, you know, in the book, it talks about tying, like having his players tie his shoes, like their shoes. Now I think he has, you know, high school All-Americans coming in, you know, future potential, you know, future NBA Hall of Famers. And he's just making them tie their shoes over and over and over, you know, taking them on, putting them off, you know, until they get sick of tying their shoes. And they're like, why the heck are we tying our shoes? You know, you tie your shoes because if you don't tie your shoes properly, then you start getting a blister on your foot. Then you're out for 3 weeks. Then you miss 3 weeks. We might lose six games. Now we're out of the NCAA tournament. You know, it rolls downhill. And I think that's the biggest thing with us is moving well is just like that. You know, we want to make sure ankle, hip, knee stability, hip, ankle mobility, shoulder mobility, you know, thoracic mobility, everything. We're trying to make sure that these kids understand how to move correctly, even if they can't understand where they can to get to that position or how they can work on that. And then, you know, finally, the fun stuff, you know, we challenge with external load. You know, we do everything in, I don't really like to say this, but we do everything functionally. You know, functionally to us means it's, you know, transferable to life and sport. So, we try to relate things to what they're going to do in sport and well as in life. Because most of these kids aren't going to, you know, a lot of them are really good baseball athletes. A lot of them are really good football players. You know, but at the end of the day, we all live life. And, you know, if you're healthy and you understand how to command yourself in a weight room, then, you know, we were successful.
Yeah, you can instill a lot of good things in especially a young person's life in the weight room. And it may seem counterintuitive to turn people away for business, but it sounds like what you're doing is creating the right culture in your weight room that brings in the right people. And instills good values into kids at an early age that they can take with them when they go to a college weight room or just become adults. And I think that's huge. That's a big part of the weight room for young kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the young kids are, you know, I like to have fun. My personality is all about having fun, but I'm also pretty stern. You know, there's a line, you know, we toe that line, we have fun, we do our stuff, and, you know, but we don't cross it. You know, we get our stuff done, and that's where, you know, we like to have fun, but we get our work done.
I think part of getting work done is fun. I don't know if that makes me crazy, but, like, the boring, monotonous stuff that I know is going to help me, like you said, mobility, moving well, getting prepared to do the loading, like, to me, that's fun because then I get to jump into the stuff that I actually like to do. So it's all part of the process.
That's right. That's right. You know, our first when I first started this, I had like 10 teams. You know, there's like 12 kids in a team. We were packed. Nobody really moved the weight, like, you know, significant weight for the first month because nobody knew how to move. Nobody knew how to command themselves in the weight room. So, I mean, we're working with our PVC, you know, we're doing our basic stuff, goblet squats, we're learning how to hinge. It's amazing to see these kids as they grow 3 years down the road. They know. I don't have to say much where they know how to command themselves and they know how to do the things. I say, okay, let's do a Brezel, you know, just something. Let's do PVC wall hinges to get warmed up. You know, let's do deep goblet squats, like prying goblet squats. And they do it. And then I make a few corrections here and there. So, I mean, it's amazing to see these young kids, you know, absorb that information.
It's got to be fun for you too, man, is seeing the hard work. Because, I mean, I worked in a private setting for one off season, and some of the young kids, like, you just tell them the same thing over and over, and it just doesn't seem like it's clicking with them. But I bet long term you're like, yes, this is so rewarding to see. Just, okay, I don't have to tell them what the hip hinge is again for the 9 millionth time. They just know, come in, grab whatever it is they need, and just do it. I'm sure that's super rewarding.
Yeah, it's a snowball effect because when one kid learns it, then, you know, he's explaining it to the other kid. That's rewarding right there in itself.
That sounds so awesome that you can actually see kids doing that and teaching other kids. Do you have any advice for a strength coach who might be interested in opening their own gym, kind of like how you did from baseball and then starting it maybe in an off season and then making it their full-time thing?
I was pretty fortunate to have a buddy who, you know, I used to play baseball with that had opportunities for, you know, a group of athletes, you know, his baseball organization to join. And like have this client base, boom, you know, the clientele's, you know, the clients, you know, that's the hardest thing to grow. But once it's, you know, word of mouth is huge. And especially, you know, in the baseball community and in small, you know, upstate New York, which is, you know, not very big, you know, it's growing, but it's not very big, that client base. So, you know, I would just talk to people. I wish I was the guy to help the, you know, the young strength coach, but, you know, I'd reach out to people, you know, people who run their own organization within different sports, maybe football, soccer. I have a buddy who actually just opened up his gym and he works with soccer organizations. So he works with this one soccer organization that has like 20 teams. And right there you have a client base and, you know, it works out well.
Yeah, when I did that one off season in the private setting, that's what I did. I hooked up with a guy who had his own organization, and we just had the teams come in, train with me, and then do their baseball training with him. And I mean, I was only there a little bit of time, but we had a lot of kids coming through, and then other kids, when they were practicing, saw our guys lifting, and they're like, "Well, I kind of want to get in on that." And then it all kind of snowballs from there. So, plus, it helps in New York that you have to be indoors to play baseball in the winter. So.
That's true.
You don't
That's
have to true. Go very far to find kids playing indoor baseball. You just set up shop right next to their little turf that they're doing their ground balls on, and they're like, "I kind of want to go play over there too. Let's see what they got."
Yep.
So you were strength coach of the year in 2017 in Lakewood. Congratulations on that. I've said it many times on here, but it's a peer voted award. So it kind of goes a long way to have the respect of your peers, and they think that you're doing something right. So again, congrats to you on that. What do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful like yourself?
First of all, I appreciate it, man. That award was you know, that was very, you know, I was very happy about getting the award. You know, I appreciate it from the other strength coaches. It meant a lot. I wouldn't, you know, I'm still in the process of success. You know, I wouldn't say I'm successful yet. I've done a lot of things that, you know, I've achieved, you know, some good stuff. I'm still trying to get success. So as far as success, you know, I just try to learn, you know, from everybody I talk to. As far as, you know, I was in baseball for 3 years. You know, that's not a lot in the eyes of many strength coaches in baseball, because there's guys with much more experience than I had. And, you know, I just try to learn what they did, and maybe pick up something, maybe see what they're doing on the other side, you know, as far as their, you know, their stretch and how they're working with guys, maybe their stretches that they do personally with guys, and talk to them maybe about their road gym. Like, what, hey, how'd you like this gym, you know, X, Y, Z. And I just tried to learn. I wish I could say more. You know, I just talk to guys and just try to learn. And, you know, even from our own strength coaches within, you know, the Phillies organization, you know, I told you about this last time we were on, you know, Kenny Mantanani. Dude, guy's a genius. And he was like a father to me. And he played that, you know, devil's advocate role that I needed as a young strength coach to kind of set me straight and, like, kind of have me question what I believe. And that's what I try to do. I try to question my belief patterns, my philosophies, when I talk to other strength coaches to see what they believe. So I know that, you know, what I believe is true for me.
Being open-minded and finding a mentor, like two things that keep coming up to be successful. And it sounds like you did both of those along the path to getting that award.
Yeah, it's for me, it's many mentors. It's not just one for me. I feel like you need to learn. You know, I was fortunate enough when I first got started that, you know, I learned in the corporate wellness field, you know, that sedentary lifestyle. You know, I learned in the private setting with how they roll. I learned in the high school setting when I have 150 athletes at one time, you know, a whole track team comes in this small weight room, like, you know, learning how to manage that. It's in working with high school coaches and going to the professional level. I feel like it's important to have many mentors to be solid in what you believe in.
Many mentors and many experiences kind of
help mold
what you want to do in this field.
Absolutely.
So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing? I have notes from last time, so I want to see how your answers compare.
I don't remember what I said last time. I think everything works. That I really do. I think and I don't know if that's crazy or not, but I think everything works. Whether you want an Olympic lift, whether you want to just stick with body weight stuff, whether you know, whatever your training modality is, whatever your training philosophy is, I think it all works. I'm curious at what I said last time.
I got it right here. You said, believe it and it will work. So everything will work.
Yeah.
And let athletes struggle a little bit was the other one that you said.
Absolutely. I love when athletes fail. I embrace it. I love it, and I want them to embrace it, because they're going to fail all the time in life, and that's how you become successful. I truly think you don't learn unless you fail. I think the struggle is real. The struggle is, you know, you definitely got to feel it. You definitely, the weight doesn't change. We change, whether we're tired one day, whether, you know, we feel really good. the weight never changes. The weight's always the same. It's always going to show up. It's never going to sleep. It's never going to get tired. So you've got to be ready. And it's a beautiful thing.
The struggle is real. I like it. It's good that your answer is lined up too. So,
thank goodness.
Maybe it's not as crazy as you think then. So what advice do you have for others in the field, not necessarily related to opening their own gym, but just in general, either young guys or older strength coaches that have been around a while? What advice do you have for others?
Try to communicate as best as you can. And that's with your athletes, with your employees, with your guys that, you know, the staff that you work with, that you work alongside, you know, your superiors. I think that's the biggest thing. And if you communicate, people understand what, you know, where you're at, and, you know, nothing will ever change. You know, if you communicate what you believe and how to go about things, especially with your, related to baseball, especially with your players, if they understand what you expect of them, then everything works out from there. And I think, you know, being personable and relatable and communicate, I think that's huge.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Communication is so, so important. I mean, in every field and in every aspect of life, but especially in this field. So where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books, attending seminars, podcasts that you're listening to? Where are you going? I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I like to listen to a lot of things. And I say I read books, but I really listen to them. I don't really read. Probably takes forever. As far as books goes, I give my intern Supple Leper. I think that's like a basic by Kelly Starrett. I think that's a basic book that you know, a strength coach should understand and should read through and be like, yes, I get it. Yep, that's yes, yes, yes. Check, check, check. I really love Dan John. Anything that he does is, the guy, we had the opportunity with the Phillies. He came and worked with us for 2 days. And I'll tell you what, I was starstruck when I first saw him. You know, I don't get starstruck very often, but he was a freaking beast. As far as like podcasts, you know, it really breaks down. I'm trying to get into the more business sense. Strength and conditioning, you know, it is what it is, and you got to learn and you got to keep up with the new research and everything that comes out. But like Barbell Business podcast is a very good one. You know, I like listening to a book. You know, it's called Shoe Dog, about Nike and how that starts. That's a great business book. You know, even like a simple book like Start With the Why by Simon Sinek. I mean, that's, you know, why do you do things? You know, you got to explain yourself and to your athletes and make them understand. Just it's communication. That's what it is. You know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in one book that I really loved, it's called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And he's a FBI negotiator. And it's just basically, you're negotiating. But every life's conversation is a negotiation. And just being able to analyze and break down what you're saying and what people are saying to you so you can kind of understand what they're feeling and what you're trying to convey is something huge. There's a lot there. A couple other podcasts I love. Found My Fitness by Rhonda Patrick. I first learned of her on Joe Rogan podcast. I love Joe Rogan's, you know, when he brings in scientists and stuff like that intrigues me. And she's a doctor of nutrition. And I'll tell you what, I've learned so much from her. It's great stuff. You know, that's just a couple. Power Athlete Radio. That's a great strength and conditioning podcast. There's a ton. You just got to search.
Exactly. You just got to search for it and it's there. So I don't think we talked about Dan John last time. And that really is exciting that you got to spend a couple of days with him.
I can't even explain it. The guy's just like how he sounds and is like, if he has a seminar or if you listen to one of his audiobooks, like he has so much joy in his voice. And it just displays himself. He's such a fun, lighthearted guy that knows his stuff. And the opportunity that we had to be able to work with him was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, I don't know how much of his stuff you've actually read, but like when I read his books, I can just like hear his voice in my head, like from listening to him on podcasts or whatever else, just speaking. I can literally like hear his voice telling the stories in his book to me, and I'm like, this guy is awesome. So
yes,
super
absolutely.
Envious of you. I know you probably got to get running, man. It's early and you got things to do today, but if you got time, I'd like to do a lightning round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Like I said, for me, I have a bunch. You know, Jay Shiner, who was the guy that really kind of sparked my flame about strength and conditioning, about, you know, in professional baseball, to be specific. You know, the guy's a great guy, and I still stay in contact with him today. Another guy, Jason Meredith, he's now the assistant strength coach for the in the major leagues with the Brewers. I definitely say that you need to work out with somebody else. So your mentor, or if you have the chance to work out with, at the time he was my coordinator with the Phillies and I was an extended, and we worked out together every day. And I had the chance to pick his brain. We had the chance to talk about things. I had the chance to talk about his experiences, and we still text all the time, and he is a fantastic human being, and he's extremely smart. And you know, I could say a bunch. You know, Joe Roush with the Phillies, he's the athletic training coordinator and the physical therapist in the Clearwater in their spring training facility. Again, just being able to learn from him, and you know, see how with his through his experiences how he handles and works with players, and I mean, there's a bunch. You know, it's I'm very thankful for my opportunities with everybody that I've worked with, because they've all had an impact.
Yeah, everybody along the way has an impact one way or the other. So it's hard to pinpoint just a few people, but I'm right there with you. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
I mean, this is as easy as it comes. I mean, everybody could say barbell, and barbell is the answer for me. But if I had to pick, especially with a younger kid, in the setting that I'm in, I'd pick a kettlebell all day, every day. With that, we can do so much. You know, goblet squat, you can do anything with a kettlebell. Kettlebell swings, goblet squats, kettlebell swings, that's the peanut butter and jelly of our program for the young kids. That, I mean, if you learn how to do those two things correctly, you know, a lot of things come from there. So the kettlebell for us, and even in baseball, put it in the travel trunk, man. Put it in the travel trunk and go.
Very versatile piece of equipment.
Absolutely.
You can get a lot done with a very, very small piece of equipment. So biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
I got married in November. So personally, it'd be that, you know. My wife's been with, we've been together since high school. So she's fantastic. And she pushes me to do more and more. And she's absolutely the most wonderful person I've ever met in my entire life. And then professionally, I would say there's nothing more gratifying than, you know, especially now that I'm out of baseball, is when you see one of your guys. And when I say your guys, like, we work with everybody. When you're in professional baseball with a team, you work with everybody. I would say your guy is, like, when I say that, is someone that not only that you've impacted, but they've impacted you. So, like, one of your guys that you see finally, like, get to the big leagues and make his big league debut and stuff like that, and then have conversations with them when players, you know, when my guys would call me, you know, FaceTime me, and like that right there is impactful. That is probably my professional. I know the strength coach of the year, that was fantastic, but there's nothing better when your players reach out to you and give you a call and, you know, show that you've impacted them. That's fantastic to me.
That's why we're all here, man. We're just trying to help them move up the chain and fulfill their dreams, and they don't know it, but like you said, they're impacting us as well. So it's two-way street. That's awesome. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I know teaching is a lot, you know, that I actually am, you know, I'm now an adjunct faculty member at a local community college. So that's, you know, another thing that I have tons of things, you know, and You know, I think the one thing that, you know, because there's going to be a lot of changes in what I'm doing in Rock Strength and my business. I think that, you know, it's going to turn into more of a teaching thing for young strength coaches. You know, I have a lot of, I have good connections with, you know, the local colleges that that have really good, strong exercise science programs that, you know, we're working on a lot of different things, but teaching is the answer for that, you know, and trying to make strength coaches better and more informed and give them different views and different ideas about challenge them essentially. And, but if, you know, something totally different, I would also be a real estate investor, which I do as well on the side with my brother. We have some properties. So, we do a lot of things.
The jack of all trades, man.
We try.
Well, I appreciate you coming on again and dealing with whatever happened with the last time and being so cool and open to working with me on this. And I really, really appreciate it, man. This is good stuff. And if the listeners want to get in contact with you, where can we get more from you? I know you're on Instagram, so I'll tag in that. Is there anywhere else we can get in touch with you?
Yeah, Instagram is probably, you know, shoot me a DM, you know, ROC Strength is the handle. My personal Instagram is Jake Bunce 21, JAKEBUNCE 21. I mean, you can also go to the website, rockstrength.com, and, you know, the contact us, that'll shoot me a direct email. But, hey, Chris, you're doing a great job, man. This is fantastic, especially, you know, to get out there what professional strength coaches in baseball are doing and how it is and showing, you know, people what it's like. It's, you're doing a great job and you're making all the strength coaches proud. That's for sure. Keep it up, man. Seriously.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right, everybody. That concludes this episode with Jake. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really cool to hear his story about opening his own gym and how it's kind of evolved over the past few years since getting out of baseball. I got to say thanks again to Jake for doing this with me. Like I mentioned in the episode, we've already recorded this one once. The audio wasn't very good. I don't know what happened, but it's awesome that he was able to come back on and work with me, and I want to say a big thanks to him. Three things that I took from Jake in this episode: learn from everyone that you talk to, find mentors, and everything that you do will work. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.